Department of Health. We're going to go ahead and get started, and if others join us, you'll just hear a chime. Today's training covers dangerous buildings, and it's going to be conducted by a close partner of ours here at the Department of Health, and that's Bill Ward. He's the Director of Code Enforcement for the City of Burlington. He retired from the Burlington Police Department as a lieutenant after serving 22 years and then moved on to the Code Enforcement Office, so he has quite a wealth of experience in this on this field. And the presentation will take approximately 10 to 15 minutes or so. And all of you should have the slides that were sent around in advance. And then we'll have time for questions at the end. And just a reminder that if you are listening in on a phone, if you have a setting and could put your phone to mute, that way we won't have to hear any background noise coming in if you're disrupted at all during the course of the training. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to Bill.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the nice introduction, and thank you for the invitation to be here. I'm going to start out with the first slide because that's my disclaimer, and there's probably one on every page because the key is that this is dangerous buildings and the town health officer. This is not an engineering class. I'm not a structural engineer. I'm not a civil engineer. I'm an enforcement officer, and primarily Burlington Code Enforcement is responsible for the minimum housing code in Burlington. We do zoning inspections, and we have a great deal of experience with all sorts of different buildings, which is how I came up with some of these photographs to show you. But every situation is unique, so that's the first thing I want to point out to you. You can't pinpoint or pigeonhole any of these cases and say every situation that looks like this is going to be, you know, this specific determination. So my recommendation is that you go through this and consider this is for the town health officer. This is not for building engineers. Those are the folks that we're going to be looking to for the next level of assistance. So I'm going to move to the next slide and tell you that I used the town health officer rental housing inspection checklist question because it's perfect for this question. You want to know, is the building structurally sound and has no obvious signs of structural deficiencies or unsafe conditions? And they've actually given you on the checklist some specifics. Holes in the walls, is there buckling or bulging in the floors, or is there bulging, buckling in the ceilings? So if the answer is no, is it not, that means it's not structurally sound, well then you should immediately contact your regional DPS office. And if you go to the next slide, again, that checklist that you have gives each of these numbers for the Department of Public Safety for the state of Vermont, whether it's the Williston office, Barry, Rutland, or Springfield office, and the phone numbers are there. Again, back to the disclaimer that if you have a serious concern about the building that you're looking at, you do not want to get close to it, and you don't want to walk away from it without making the public safety officials aware that you've got a serious concern that the next wind that blows is not going to take the whole thing out and potentially fall on someone. That's our greatest concern. So if you look at that question, and I just move to the next slide or the next picture in your PDF, having the questions to answer, those are essentially the unanswered questions from that first question on the checklist. Because while the checklist is excellent, it does not give you definitions for structurally sound. It does not give you a definition for signs of structural deficiencies. It doesn't give you a definition for unsafe conditions. It gives you a few hints, but those were the things that I wanted to talk about just to sort of get the conversation going. And I didn't go to the Webster's Dictionary or, you know, Black's Law Dictionary or any specific one. I used some of the information that was available within either Vermont statutes or within the actual ordinance itself in Burlington, and I put some pictures to it. So if you go to that first question on the next slide, structurally sound, generally you're looking for in a visual examination, and I point that out, visual examination is because you are like me, you're a town health officer, I wouldn't be pulling on materials to see if it comes loose. As you'll probably see in structural engineer reports, many of them will have something that indicates the next shovelful that comes out from underneath this foundation may be the item that takes the whole thing down. So I think you want to be careful. That visual examination of the physical condition of the visible elements to see if there's any structural distress or deterioration. The picture that you see there You've got a few different things. You've got the block in the foundation in that right-hand corner of that picture. Some of those pieces are missing. You've got some rotten materials in there. The key to this, again, like with the inspection that you do for any housing units, you want to document what you're seeing. And if you can photograph it, that's even better than just writing down that you saw broken foundation materials, or that there was the mortar was missing between the bricks or between the cement or the concrete blocks. Writing that down is one thing, but having a picture of it actually helps you support your written word. And actually, for someone who's not going to actually see the building, they might be able to make some more determinations just based on the pictures that you send to them. So on the right-hand side, it says to document what you observe and to make recommendations based on your training experience, but use professionals to make an official determination. And that asterisk is to, again, point out, remember, you're the town health officer. You're not a structural engineer. If you are the structural engineer, excellent, and you're much more qualified than I am to make these decisions. But obviously, you want to encourage the next level of review beyond you. You're making a basic observation. So that's why I threw that in there repeatedly. Use the professionals. In your area, that could be your fire chief, your fire marshal. In Burlington, it's also the building inspector. We have a person on staff who's the city engineer. So we've got a number of people that we can use within our community. Know who those people are in your community that can help you make these official determinations. On the next slide, I use this as the example of some signs of structural deficiencies. If you see rotten or decayed materials, like in this picture, that's a concern that there could be a structural deficiency, because this particular member structural member in this building, I zoomed in really close because I really wanted to have the person who owned the building have a sense of privacy. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but this was a rather large support beam on the back side of a structure. That gave me great concern that it had the potential to have the second or third floor above it not be properly supported. So in this case, we asked for the building inspector in Burlington to come in and make a judgment. He did issue a building permit, and some repairs were made on the back of the building. But this is just an example visually of, I mean, I think folks generally know what rotten materials look like, but I find this picture to be pretty compelling. There's no question that that particular support beam is not, it's no longer structurally sound. The material is rotten all the way through. So holes in the wall, in this case you can see right through that one section of it, and you may, above this particular type of rot, you might see bulging or buckling, those types of things. Again, common sense is the rule, but if you don't see these things, just document that you did not see them. Unsafe conditions. These are two a little harder to see, but the example I used in the case of the one on the left, it's through an adjoining building's window on the second floor. So there's a couple of things that are useful here. One is you can see just to the right-hand side of the telephone pole on the picture that there's effectively a hole in that roof. That roof has caved in. That's a pretty good example that anybody that goes on top of that building, whatever step they take, if it's a firefighter or someone trying to do work on it to shore up the building, that's clearly an unsafe condition and potentially puts the rest of the building at risk. If that rooftop is supporting the rest of the side walls, I had some concerns that the rest of the building may be in jeopardy as well. But these are the types of things that you want anyone who might go up on that building to recognize before they take that first step in the dark and go right through a hole. So I didn't have the property owner's permission to be on the property or to climb up and take a look at it, but I had the adjoining property owner's permission to go into their office building and look down onto the top of it and take a picture of it. This building, ironically, was shortly after that declared unsafe by the building inspector in Burlington, and the building property owner was issued a dangerous building order, and under our ordinance, they had a specific time based on the code of ordinances in Burlington that they had to take the building down. They had to make it safe by securing it and remove it within a specified time under the order of the building inspector. And the picture on the right-hand side, you have some support columns. You have wooden, several wooden support columns, but on the left-hand side in the center, there's a 4x4 or 6x6 post that's supporting or supported by, and it's in a concrete block. Now, the concrete block used to be at one point covered with earth, and that earth was supporting that. Someone in this building had subverted that, and they had taken out the dirt, and by taking out the dirt that surrounded each of those support columns, they put in question whether the rest of the ceiling above it was properly supported. So I wish the picture was a little bit better, but there was a mounded up dirt underneath that, and in this case, this was one of those where the structural engineer that we asked the property owner to bring in, we asked him to get a engineer's report to tell us whether it actually was sound that way. He recommended that they immediately bring in crushed stone to support the structure around that, so there wouldn't be any movement of those support pillars. Again, we didn't make the official determination. We thought we had concerns, and we asked for the structural engineer's report from the property owner. On the next slide, the top says Burlington City Ordinance, Chapter 8. I use that because it's what I rely on as the town health officer in Burlington. We enforce the Burlington City Ordinances, and that has a specific section about the abatement and rehabilitation of vacant buildings and dangerous structures. Now, the piece at the bottom actually describes that the dangerous building means a building or a structure at any part that's declared structurally unsafe or hazardous, and I underline, by any duly constituted authority. That is not my authority. That's why I work so closely with the building inspector in Burlington. That's his authority to make that decision. We bring it to his attention. And in this case, it works quite well. Burlington also has a vacant building ordinance that's covered under the same chapter, and that might be a whole separate presentation at some point, because there's a lot of vacant buildings in Burlington. We've got a pretty good handle on it, but it's something that every community needs to take inventory of, and often vacant buildings can turn into dangerous buildings. So the next slide, I wanted to point this out as an example of when you leave that building. If you're making a determination and you say to yourself, no, this doesn't look like there's really any danger, I don't think the people that are next to this are in any danger, there's no reason for me to call the state to have the DPS involved. But I would ask, when you leave, ask yourself, would it be safe for the fire department or the police department to enter this once you leave? And the reason that's important is because, as I showed you in the earlier slide with that hole in the roof, that's a clear situation that I know that there are times when police officers might, in the middle of the night, go looking for someone who's broken into a building. And I would feel pretty guilty and probably be liable for not letting those public safety officers know that there's a potential hazard there. So notification should be made to the first responders in your area regarding the conditions of these properties before you leave them, or preferably no later than that same day that you investigate it. So the summary I have is follow the guidelines that you've been provided already by the Vermont Department of Health, because they're excellent. The goal should be to make the building safe and secure. If it's a dangerous situation, immediately contact your regional DPS office. If the building does not appear structurally sound, keep the local fire department and fire marshal's office involved, because they can be an excellent resource. They probably have a greater level of skill than you do, but I'm not sure. Again, in my case, I'm telling you that's true. Our fire marshal and our fire department, our fire chief, are much better at making these determinations than I am. I contact them regularly. We have a good working relationship, and I encourage you to also. Your local building official and building inspector, if you have one in your town, is also an excellent resource. I see the building official in Burlington every day. We regularly communicate about conditions, and it's important to have that line of communication open. And of course, when you're dealing with someone's private property, be sure you're notifying the property owner about what your involvement has been. And now I'd like to open it up for questions. If folks have some questions, I'm happy to take them.
And if you've put your phone on mute, remember you have to take it off of mute to ask any questions or we can't hear you.
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Does Vermont have any mechanism to legally condemn a building?
Yes. And I have to tell you, unfortunately, I didn't bring the statute with me, but I do, maybe what we can do is put something up on the website afterwards that I can either send a link back. But I rely so heavily on the building inspector that we use his written orders, and he typically puts Burlington ordinance and state statute in about his authority. When he's making that declaration that a building is dangerous and needs to be made safe and either needs to be removed within a certain timeline, those are in there, and unfortunately I didn't bring that with me. I'll have to put it back up on a link.
Okay, and for the state statutory authority, who has that authority to condemn a building?
I think the question really should go to your regional DPS office. It should rest with them.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question regarding, in the course of doing our job as a health officer, we come across a building that we deem might be unsafe, and we are going to report it to DPS. Is that any kind of building, number one, or is it just an occupied building? And number two, the question is, are we just talking about rental houses or just a private home?
No, I think that you typically you're probably going to be on the property for a rental property, but this would be in effect for any properties, because in the case of one of those pictures I sent and put in the slideshow, one of those is a unoccupied garage that hasn't been used in years. So your question is great, because your response and DPS response is likely to be much different for an occupied structure versus a garage or other structure. But the rest of those questions are completely valid for either, because the fire department's not going to care if it's on fire. If it's dangerous, they want to know about it before they put their own, you know, men and women at risk to fight this fire, that there's a structural deficiency and it's already been secured by the property owner. So they're not going to risk entering that property to try to pull somebody out. Whereas if you got an occupied structure, I don't think I would leave that. If you had concerns that it was dangerous, I wouldn't leave that occupied structure that day without getting a recommendation from the DPS office, because there are people living in it, whether it's a rental property or not. I think that's a much higher level of concern, and I think that the urgency of action is much higher.
Okay, great, thanks.
Are there any other questions? Okay, hearing none, I think that concludes the training on dangerous buildings. I want to thank all of you for participating. And we will have the podcast put up shortly, and perhaps we'll even maybe amend the slides to include the reference to the statute for the question about condemning a building. All right, and thank you all. Bye.